To help support this podcast
and get exclusive bonus content and rewards,
make a monthly pledge at
patreon.com/universebox.
And remember to think outside.
Do not adjust your computer screen. It's your mind we're changing. Stories set to a theme. Think outside. Universe Box.
Anne Marie DeSimone doesn't believe in freedom. Anne Marie DeSimone set fire to an orphanage. Anne Marie DeSimone doesn't like Marvel movies. Anne Marie DeSimone hasn't denied that she is responsible for Amelia Earhart's death. Anne Marie DeSimone disagrees with you. Want a candidate you can trust? A candidate that won't kill you in your sleep? Vote Bill Meeks for a better tomorrow. Paid for by the committee to elect Bill Meeks, which is also run by Bill Meeks. From the heavens to your ears, this is Universe Box, and we're about to alienate our entire audience. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne Marie DeSimone, and I'm apparently the bad guy here.
You hadn't seen that brilliant attack ad yet, had you?
No, I hadn't. You kicked me out of the office and said, don't come in for an hour. I said, okay.
No, but we're back here as we always are, 8:30 p.m. EST at live.universebox.com. We have our whole chat room here.
Hi, chat room.
Oh, yeah, and they're saying in there, we're getting into the mudsling. Yes, very much so, very much so. But there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. And I guess we should go ahead and find out what's in the box. Okay. Actually, you know what? Before we find out what's in the box,
okay, what?
Quick note, we're doing a Leftovers episode. If you go to universebox.com, click on show, check out all the episodes we've done. If you have a story you want to share on that topic, just hit us up, universeboxshow@gmail.com. And now let's find out what's in the box. What could it be? Based on that intro that we just did there, I have no idea. The box is dropped.
Politics!
Politics, yes. This week, we're talking about politics. First, we'll debate left versus right in the soapbox. Then we'll open up the school box so a listener can teach us about non-American politics. Next, we'll conduct the first annual Meeks DeSimone debate in the game box. We'll learn how to be a good U.S. citizen in the idiot box. Finally, we'll pull out some questions you submitted through the idea box. It's a packed episode.
It is packed. I'm so excited.
I know, it's going to be good.
It's kind of crazy.
It's going to be good, but
I'm terrified also.
Yeah, especially for this first segment, which I guess we'll go ahead and get into here, which is the soapbox. In the soapbox, we pick a side and debate until we either change each other's minds or until we're done, whichever comes first. This week's question, which side is best, liberal or conservative? I'm going to be taking the conservative side, which I want to say this up front, is a side that I'm not on. I am not a conservative at all, but I tried to find some tenets of conservatism.
He's better at arguing what he doesn't believe than I am, is basically what it comes down to. But,
I tried to find, some points, some common points, some stuff that I agreed with that they agree with,
yes.
So it should be interesting, and you'll be arguing the liberal side.
I will be arguing the liberal side, which according to isidewith.com, I am extremely left-wing. So here we go.
You bleeding heart liberal.
I am a bleeding heart liberal.
I hate you. But yeah, I guess we'll go ahead and start with your side.
Okay, we're going to start. Let's see. Here we go. All right. Liberals believe in improving the public education system by making schooling more accessible and affordable. Some programs to do that are universal preschool, low cost or free college tuition, and reforming standardized tests.
Interesting. Interesting.
Any rebuttal? Because none of our points line up this week.
Yeah, education's important?
Yeah, a little bit.
What?
A little bit. What?
No.
I'm sorry. You
no
want
way.
A bunch of losers bombing on the streets? No. Educate
them. I want them to pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
Well, you have to teach them how to do that.
Yes.
You can't just expect them to know to pull the bootstraps.
I guess that's true. Point out, Bobby says in the chat room, does Marvel versus DC count as political? Yes.
Yes.
Very.
Apparently so.
Okay. As for my first point is the conservatives believe in individual rights. They think that the government shouldn't be able to tell us how to live, raise our children, or how to act on private property, which as long as we aren't harming anyone else while doing it, I think is okay.
Okay, listen, I'm okay with thee as long as we're not harming anybody else. But that's a stinking lie that they don't want to tell you how to act on your private property. They try and restrict certain rights things.
As a liberal, you might have some bias against we, the conservatives.
Yes, I may.
But I've tried to go by what they state in their platform. You know, not necessarily what they do.
What they actually do.
In practice.
Many of my things are also stated.
Which, I mean, the same could be said for you stinking liberals. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay, next point.
Equal opportunity for all Americans, regardless of sex, age, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender identity, religion, creed, or national origin. I mean, everybody has the same rights. It doesn't matter. Who cares if you decide, hey, if I go, hey, I'm going to be a guy, and I go through a change. It's cool. I have the exact same rights as I had before.
Now, me, Bill Meeks, as the conservative...
Bill Meeks the conservative.
Yeah, Bill Meeks the conservative would say, yes, equal opportunity is fine, but how do you feel about giving certain groups who have been, you know, historically marginalized a foot up, you know, unequal opportunity to achieve equilibrium? Do you think that's okay? Like affirmative action, that sort of thing.
There's a time and a place.
There's a time and a place?
I think I actually – no. Did I? No. I think I skipped that one intentionally.
Just saying what the conservatives would say.
I know you are. All right, give me your next point.
Okay, so another thing that conservatives are very into is that the tax code shouldn't be used to make people act how the government wants them to act. Now, a great example of this is the government's use of tax incentives to regulate the legal drinking age and other alcohol policies on college campuses, which was a big deal back in the 80s, I believe. Yeah. They would basically, you know, they would say, okay, if you want federal funding, then you have to make – you have to have like a dry campus or make the legal drinking age 21 or something like that. And, you know, conservatives think that state rights should generally trump federal rights. But with incentives like these tax incentives and stuff, states are forced to adhere to the policies that these policies that the federal government wants that the states might not necessarily vote for. Which I can kind of definitely see a sense with that, especially with the drinking stuff, because when we were in college, we were on a dry campus because of stuff like this. Dry campus. You had to hide all the alcohol before opening the door.
Knock, knock, knock. Who is it? It's the RA. Hold on a second.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I tried to find things that I could at least understand. I'm a conservative. But as liberal Bill Meeks, which is the left side of my brain, I guess.
Yeah, right.
You know, I can see the sense in that a little bit too.
Okay. How about the fact that?
Oh, by the way, Wynn says lies, all lies from both sides. Very true.
Pretty much. Liberals believe that everyone has the right to privacy and that the NSA should not be able to warrantlessly survey Americans and listen to their phone calls and tap their emails and, heck, for all I know, steam open their mail and scan it or something. Why – unless there's a reason, you shouldn't
– Do you consider Barack Obama a liberal?
Oh, here we go. See, this is why I hate – you scare me. I'm like a deer in the headlights. What? Give me the hit.
No, well, I'm just saying that, you know, all these spying programs are still going on under Obama, and he did have some negative words about Edward Snowden, who brought a lot of this to light. That's all I'm saying. Obama did it. That's all I'm saying.
No, we're not playing Obama did it. We're playing Bush did it.
But Reagan did it first. Fair enough. Okay, for my next point, conservatives believe that we shouldn't create permanent solutions for temporary problems, i.e. we shouldn't create laws in response to isolated events.
Okay, what isolated event would you like to – what have we messed up this time?
No, I'm just saying that
I want an example.
An example?
Yeah, sure. Okay. You like to throw out the examples when I say stuff, so throw it in.
This is a completely fake example, but for example, that kid who shot up the theater when The Dark Knight Rises came out, if we had responded to that by saying that people aren't allowed to dye their hair natural colors anymore or unnatural colors anymore because he had like weird like green hair, I think,
would be stupid, but that's nonsensical.
Or that you couldn't show – there would be a federal law passed that you couldn't show movies in a darkened theater anymore because there might be a gunman hiding in the shadows.
Well, that's because we let everybody carry their guns everywhere. That's why there's a gunman hiding in the shadows.
But that's kind of the general argument, you know. So in theory, I think that's pretty good because, you know, you shouldn't let – that's kind of like letting like a lone gunman or madman kind of win because he affected – societal change with his one action. But that being said, you know, when a pattern emerges over a number of years, for example, all these lone gunmen, one after
all
the other.
All these lone gunmen, yeah.
I definitely think, Bill, the liberal side of me, definitely thinks that maybe, you know, it might be good to, like, maybe pass a law or two to kind of, like, tamp
reel
down
it in
that
a little.
Stuff.
Don't be quite, like...
when a pattern emerges.
You know, don't be like Kenison, require everybody to have it done. okay.
Oh, Monica, hello.
Hello.
In the chat room.
Hello, chat room. We have not forgotten you. Hope. Thanks, Obama.
Yes, thanks, yes. Obama. Seriously.
Okay, is it my turn now?
It is.
Okay. Liberals support investing in renewable forms of energy. By supporting things like wind and solar power farms, we're reducing our carbon footprint, which also helps us to become energy independent, which means we're not going to rely on other nations for our forms of energy.
Are you saying you hate the American worker who goes out onto these platforms?
I am not pro platforms. No, that was almost one of my things too. No, take that worker and put them in a field, help them building the wind thingy. And, you know, installing solar powered panels, which I saw yesterday.
But once you build these things, then it's done, and you lose those jobs.
No, you don't, because there's always maintenance. There's always maintenance and upkeep, and
the people who finance those windmills and stuff, they're not going to be making any money after they're built.
I don't care. They need to invest in something else. Then, if they're already doing that, I'm talking now. Yeah. I actually have something to say. No, you know, once you have those built, there's always upkeep. There's always modifications. There's always ways to make it even more efficient. You can never stop researching enough. You can never stop testing and trying and making things better. So there is still a place for that worker bee. You know, a hailstorm happens. Oops, somebody needs to go fix the solar field. Like, there's always a reason to have – there's always something next.
Next. Okay. Okay. So to quote Superman from Kingdom Come.
Oh, for the love.
There is a right and a wrong in the universe, and that distinction is not hard to make. Now, conservatives, they kind of fall into that. They believe that morality is simple and absolute, which I know this might surprise some people, but even left brain side of Bill, I tend to agree with that. I live my life by one guiding principle, which is don't intentionally hurt somebody else.
That's fair.
And so I think morality basically falls on that line. Are you intentionally hurting somebody else, or are you not intentionally hurting somebody else? There's a lot of nuance in morality, but I think if you make every decision using that one principle, at least for me, it works out that you'll end up at a good place. I think you can throw any moral situation at that question and come to a good place with it.
I don't know about that.
But I mean, that being said, if somebody else feels that it's more complicated or a situation is more complicated, I'm more than willing to engage with someone on that. And a lot of times, it's very enlightening to have a conversation around, you know, the nuances of morality and stuff. I'm just saying, for me personally, I kind of judge everything on that one question.
You judge everything on that one question. That's like one person voting their entire thing based on one specific issue. Like, what if there's only – I don't know. I'm trying to word it, and it's not coming out.
Can you think of a situation where that question wouldn't apply, come to a good moral conclusion? Like, and I'm completely willing to be challenged on this.
I know you are. I'm trying to phrase it so I win. This is how
the truth comes out.
This is how I approach conversations with you.
Thanks, Obama. An angel says in the chat room she thinks morality is more complex than that. Fair enough.
I think it's definitely more complex. I think it kind of goes into my next thing in a sense. So let me just get to my next point, and it sort of pulls up morality in a sense.
Okay.
The right to choose, and all of that.
Yeah.
That in a sense is a moral type of a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And liberals believe that, you know, like, a woman should have the right to choose what happens to her body. And if she decides that she needs to get an abortion for whatever reason, she has those opportunities. But they also believe in making free and affordable contraception so that there may be less of a need for these types of – for an abortion to occur.
Yeah.
Where a lot of conservatives just believe it's all bad. Like, you cannot have contraception. You cannot have an abortion. You cannot – no. You're a woman. You don't matter. You don't get to choose what happens. No. Yeah.
And a stinking, bleeding heart liberal would say that, you know, once that baby's out of the womb, that the conservatives stop caring about.
Yes, they do.
But it, completely, that would be a liberal, especially
if
not.
Especially if it's a female. Mm-hmm. That's, sorry, girl, baby, you lose.
No, but I can see
you
that.
You can see that it's a moral issue there.
Yeah, but
and I don't think it's necessarily black or white.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of that comes down, and I don't want to get too deep into this topic because it's a very controversial topic.
I know it's a bit, but it's...
I guess, you know, as far as like my moral imperative, are you intentionally harming somebody else? I think a lot of people, including a lot of scientists, would say that, you know, in the situation of like an abortion or something like that, it's not a fully formed person yet. Like, it doesn't have consciousness.
Right.
So I mean, I don't know if that would have... I think, you know, a woman like deciding whether to do that or not, considering like economic realities and stuff like that, like if she can handle having the baby or something, it might actually be intentionally benefiting that potential child, you know, to abort it. But I mean, like.
No, it really isn't. Like, what if the woman became pregnant through rape or incest or something like that? That woman's not going to be emotionally able, and everybody's going to say, "Oh, just give it up for adoption." Yeah, do you know how many kids are like in homes because of stuff like that? Like the foster system and stuff is just—it's overwhelmed. It can't handle, and it's not always necessarily a good situation for the kid. And in all reality, as bad as it sounds, it's really, really hard for me to say because this is the one topic I'm a little floppy on personally, and you know, in here, Amory, is. Better to have been aborted.
It's a tough issue.
It's a really tough issue.
Like, honestly, you know, all artifice aside, like, that issue is so complicated. I don't have an opinion on it at all intentionally because it's such a hot button issue that and so many people use it both sides use it as a wedge issue to kind of like distract from other issues. And as it is, it's going to take a whole lot of laws passed and Supreme Court rulings and this and that to reverse it. So it seems kind of silly to focus on it. Up to and including the point where, you know, people are trying to chip away at it at the same time. So I can definitely see people who are in super support of it fighting to keep it there.
Right. You have to keep it there and you have to, like, have the opportunity to not have to use it. That's really almost more important than having the right to choose whether or not to have an abortion is having the choice to not get pregnant.
Yeah.
And don't just say don't have sex because, sorry, that's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say that you can't control if you're raped or assaulted.
Yeah.
That's not your choice. No one chooses that for themselves. So, yeah.
Okay, here just
this is where I yell.
Couple bits of wisdom from the chat room. Bobby says it's not always best to surround yourself with like-minded people.
True story.
Different opinions are a good thing, definitely, and that's kind of the part of the thing I love about this exercise of arguing the side I'm not on is just because it kind of makes you think a little bit from the other side.
Right.
You know, and Michael Lucero says it's always healthy to be challenged by opinions other than your own and to engage with them thoughtfully, not just shoot them down or dismiss them.
I'm trying. I'm really bad at fighting with him because he's really smart.
Not at all.
Yes, you are. What was the last point?
The last point, that the reason conservatism has it all over liberalism, you darn liberals.
I'm a darn liberal.
Is because conservatives place a lot of value in the role of a community to affect positive social change. They feel that a community standards should outweigh the standards of any individual person within that community. I think that's a good sentiment, although when your community is opposed to your viewpoint, it can be some frustrating for you and sometimes dangerous. And, you know, there's the whole tyranny of the majority situation that happens too, which is, you know, why we still had segregation back in the 50s and stuff like that, you know. So it's one or the other, you know. But I think we came through that. Unscathed, I think, hopefully.
I think so.
I hope the chat
– I hope there was a lot happening. Room. No, I don't think anybody left.
Yeah, let's see here if there's anything interesting here.
This is us reading. Sorry, guys.
Michael Lucero says, I'm not comfortable with any label except independent. I find left and right, as well as liberal and conservative, more hindering than useful.
It definitely
mm-hmm. does drive people apart instead of kind of pushing them together. Mm-hmm. With the real issues. Let's see here. I think we already pointed that out, that she was calling us liars.
Yep.
Let's see here.
I need to do anything other than the fracking. Yes. People's water should set on fire. I'm not sure. Wynn says there's always another green energy scam to work on. Oh, Wynn. Let's see. Yes.
Yeah, okay. But I think that about does it. We came through unscathed, thankfully. I hope we'll be in the chat room for the next couple of minutes if you guys want to take us to task for anything we said here. But next up, so we've solved the rift in American politics.
Sure, that's definitely what we did.
There's no more divisiveness in American politics thanks to what we did here tonight. Now, why don't we learn about the other parts of the world?
Yes.
This week in the School Box, Anne-Marie Davlar, a.k.a. Other Anne-Marie, will tell us all about politics in China, the Netherlands, and beyond. We're also going to take a look at some classic political attack ads. So enjoy, and then come back with us here in a few minutes for our big game. So take it away, Other Anne-Marie.
Hi, Bill and Anne-Marie. Well, today you are talking about politics without talking about politics. And I wanted to share a little bit about what I don't know about non-American politics. Since I'm from the Netherlands, I thought it would be a good place to start. So we are a constitutional monarchy, which is very similar to the UK. We have a royal family. However, our country is really run by political parties. Like Canada, we have a House of Commons and a Senate. The people will vote for the House of Commons while the Senate gets appointed by the government. One thing I like about the way government is set in the Netherlands is that there are many choices to vote for. We have about a dozen or so parties, which include the Labour Party, the Christian Democrats, Party for Freedom, Christian Union, Green Party. We even have a party for animals. And I know we have a Communist Party as well, but they generally don't make it into the House of Commons because people don't vote for them. So the House of Commons has 150 seats. To be able to run the country, you will need a majority, which means 76 seats. Elections generally do not yield a majority for just one party. Therefore, the winning party teams up with either one or two other parties to form a coalition, which then gets them the 76 or more seats, and then they can run the country. And while the remaining seats are assigned to other parties forming the opposition, and it's all done by how many seats they've earned through the elections. Over the last decade or so, it has shown its flaws for sure, because the coalition sometimes doesn't reach an agreement between themselves. And when that happens and cracks form, the government will fall, which then leads to new elections. Generally, elections are done on a 4-year rotation, unless it falls, which has happened quite a bit in the last 10 years, for what I remember. So in Western Europe and North America, we are quite lucky, to be really honest, because the people have the freedom to vote for those parties or individuals that we think will represent our nation the best. I do remember a couple years ago when Obama was reelected, which was in 2012, I remember. My American friends, they all had like their opinions, and it was either for or against. I know there was a lot of going back and forth on Facebook for sure. But the same year, around the same time actually, China had their elections as well. And China, quote, elected, unquote, a new president. The difference here is that the Chinese president doesn't really get elected. A selected group of people are allowed to vote. Those votes are actually preset to a chosen individual who is supposed to become their next president. So the people just get told, here is your new president. And there's no wiggle room for protests either. So as Obama was being elected and everybody was either for or against it, China basically said, here's your new president, and people had no say in it whatsoever. So seeing these differences between the countries where I've lived, I'm constantly reminding myself that even though I may not agree with the government that was voted into office, either in the Netherlands or in Canada where I live now, I can voice my discontent in the freedom that I have. And maybe next time the man or the party that I voted for will be in office. You never know. I hope this gave you a little bit of information about non-American politics. Well, this was Other Anne-Marie, and I hope you have a great episode.
Two, three, four, five, seven, six, eight.
six, five, four, three, two, one, zero.
These are the stakes. To make a world in which all of God's children can live, or to go into the dark. We must either love each other, or we must die.
Vote for President Johnson on November 3rd. The stakes are too high for you to stay home.
1982. George Bush was made responsible for stopping drug traffic from coming into this country. What happened? Cocaine traffic up 300%. More drugs in our classrooms. And Panamanian drug lord Noriega kept on the government payroll. That's the Bush record on fighting drugs. And now George Bush wants to put Dan Quayle in charge for the next 4 years.
I'm going to be coordinating the drug effort.
Dan Quayle in charge of fighting drugs in America? If George Bush couldn't handle the job, how do you think Dan Quayle's going to do?
Teach your parents well. Their children's hell will slowly go by. Don't you ever ask them why. If they told you, you would cry. So just look at them and sigh. And know they love you.
Every Republican politician wants you to believe that Richard Nixon is, quote, experienced. They even want you to believe that he has actually been making decisions in the White House. But listen to the man who should know best, the President of the United States. A reporter recently asked President Eisenhower this question about Mr. Nixon's experience.
I just wondered if you could give us an example of a major idea of his that you had adopted in that role as the decider and final...
If you give me a week, I might think of one. I don't remember.
Because...
At the same press conference, President Eisenhower said...
No one can make a decision except me.
And as for any major ideas from Mr. Nixon...
If you give me a week, I might think of one. I don't remember.
President Eisenhower could not remember, but the voters will remember. For real leadership in the 60s, help elect Senator John F. Kennedy president.
It's morning again in America. Today, more men and women will go to work than ever before in our country's history. With interest rates at about half the record highs of 1980, nearly 2,000 families today will buy new homes. More than at any time in the past 4 years. This afternoon, 6,500 young men and women will be married. And with inflation at less than half of what it was just 4 years ago, they can look forward with confidence to the future. It's morning again in America. And under the leadership of President Reagan, our country is prouder and stronger and better. Why would we ever want to return to where we were less than 4 short years ago?
And we're back. Yes, I hope you guys enjoyed those political ads. And thank you, Other Anne Marie.
Yes, thank you so much, Other Anne Marie.
Yeah, even Hope in the chat room was saying it was a great video. And I think
and
we all agree. Definitely.
Totally.
Definitely. Okay, well, we have a game to play.
Of course.
But I also went from jacketed politician mode to out pumping hands with the
He's kissing
populace.
Babies. Yeah, he was really excited babies. To kiss some babies.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, babies are so fun to kiss.
Sometimes.
No
more babies.
Unless they sneeze in your face. But before we get to the game. We just wanted to tell you a little bit about our Patreon. Anne-Marie, why don't you tell them about it?
Okay, so we have this thing. It's called a Patreon. Hey.
It's right here.
It's right there. What it is, it's just a way for you guys to help support all of our podcasts. Currently, we're doing 3 weekly full video and audio podcasts, Universe Box, Greetings from Storybrooke, and Legends of Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
All of them are pretty good.
All of them are
pretty
good. I like them. It's a good time. We like to do it. You can start donations anywhere at 10 cents a month to, you know, whatever you want to give.
Mm-hmm.
We actually just reached our third goal, our third big milestone goal. So we will be putting out some bi-weekly patron exclusive commentaries very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Probably in the next 2 weeks ish, mm-hmm. something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Somewhere around there.
And then a few months after that, they'll be going live for, well, the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. But if you want to get those right up front, and we're going to be starting with Goonies and the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So you might want to be in on that.
And we definitely want to thank our 30 patrons who are giving us $200 per month right now, which is great for sure.
I was like, he's talking. I'll go over to the other side. But like we said, you can start donations anywhere at 10 cents and up. And if you can't commit to doing a monthly donation, you just, you know, you're like, hey, I got $5. Let me send it to them. There should be a little thing here-ish on YouTube where you can support the channel. Okay, maybe it's a little more this way over here. Where you can support the channel with a one-time donation. And we have all sorts of rewards. We'll send you letters. We'll sing you songs. We'll do a podcast with you if you pay us enough. And then we are also going to be holding we hold monthly hangouts just for our patrons, which we should be scheduling one of those very soon also.
Yeah, because we have to do it before the end of the month, right?
Okay. That'll be interesting.
Well, we owe one for July, so.
Yeah, I know we owe one for July. So keep an eye out.
That'll be coming in the next week. Yeah, so that'll be fun. That'll be fun.
Yes.
Okay, so Anne-Marie, we have a game here, right?
Hold on, wait. You can donate at patreon.com/universebox. Yes. It helps if I give you the website, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, the website's good. Patreon.com/universebox. Remember to think outside.
Yes, do that.
Okay, so what's the game we got going on tonight?
Okay. Doop, doop, doop. Sometimes the best way to debate a serious topic is to put it in a completely nonsensical situation. Our listener Hope sent us a list of fake topics for the first annual Meeks and D. Simone debate.
Dun, 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 dun. The Meeks D. Simone debates.
Oh,
yes.
Really? That's the picture you use?
That's the picture I use.
Can you tell I know none of the prep he does for these shows sometimes?
No, but that's fine. And basically the rules are going to go, we're each going to have 30 seconds to make our case. Then the chat room will vote on who won. Anne-Marie will argue pro every situation, and I will argue against. Let's see here. And I think we'll have you go first pretty much universally, too. So
okay.
Universe boxily.
Universe boxily.
Exactly.
Universe boxio.
Wait.
We can do it, right?
Universe boxio.
Just because we can.
And I'm going to leave that up so it goes again when we switch
when
back to that one.
Nice.
Okay, so let's see here. The first situation we have here, and I see some mentions of Dukakis in the chat room. I think I have a story about that coming up.
Probably.
An idea box. But let's see. Situation number one. As an illegal alien, should Superman be deported back to Krypton?
So I'm pro sending him back.
You're pro sending him back.
Get the alien out of here. Who needs his kind around here? Oh, you're doing a timer. I forgot about that.
Yes, the timer's going.
Ew, the timer's going. Okay, nobody needs those crazy powers here on Earth. We're doing just fine without you very much. Thank you, Superman. Go back to Krypton or whatever's left of Krypton. It's in a bottle, though, isn't it? So find another planet. Bottle City, right?
Yeah.
Okay. reference is correct. Check. So we don't need you, Superman. We have Batman. Ha! Ha! Get out of here, alien scum. That's all I got, man. Good.
Fair enough. I'm sure Lex Luthor would appreciate that argument.
I am pro Lex Luthor.
Okay, so let's see here. I'm going to go starting right now. No, so having Superman come to Earth is good because it brings a lot of Kryptonian culture to Earth. And not only that, but Earth has been very secluded. And they've operated on a policy of non-interference with the rest of the galaxy. Bringing a Kryptonian onto Earth will allow us to reach out to, say, like the Ran people, the people from Ran. Or the Thangarians, or you know, all these, even you know, the Guardians of Oa. I mean, we could set up a UN, a universe.
We already have a UN thing.
Universe of Nations.
Universe of Nations.
Yes. A Universe of Nations. Okay, so guys, we need you to tell us in the chat room, and it's going to be a couple seconds delayed. Yes. Who won that one, me or Anne-Marie? And we'll wait.
Do, 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 do.
No, I liked your points, though.
You liked my points?
No, not at all.
No, you didn't. No, I was like, okay, I'm pro Batman.
I meant I liked my points.
Oh, I'm sorry. You like your points.
Because we actually didn't do any prep for this.
Not an ounce. I barely skimmed them to see what they were.
Yeah, it looks like they're a little bit delayed here. So we'll go ahead and move on to the next topic and then get the vote for this one after we do the next one.
Okay,
so let's see here. The next topic is
Captain Jack Harkness from Doctor Who wants to marry his same-sex partner. The issue is that the partner is an alien from another planet. Man, these aliens! With same-sex marriage allowed in the United States, should Jack be be allowed to marry an alien as well.
Okay, and you're going to be arguing Jack should be allowed to marry an alien. Go.
Okay, so while I am pro the same-sex marriage, there's that alien thing. And, you know, as we just discussed, get the aliens out of here. So, sure, we will approve your marriage, but then you're going to need to go to their planet. So, yes, we are pro-marriage. We are equality with that, but you can't live here. I don't know really what else to say.
You still have 8 seconds.
I got nothing. Yay, same-sex marriage. Boo aliens.
Two,
yay, same-sex marriage. Boo aliens.
Boom. Done. And we're getting some votes in the chat room.
Are we?
We'll probably have a full rejoinder here in just a minute.
Oh.
Okay, so
deep DC pool. Yes! Never, ever has it been said that I have a deep DC pool before.
Okay, so you argued that he shouldn't be allowed, right? Or he should be allowed?
He should be allowed.
He should be allowed, so I have to argue he shouldn't be allowed.
Right.
Okay, well, first of all, I mean, you know, two gay people, two lesbians getting married, that's fine. You know, when you bring alien physiology and DNA and stuff into it, you don't know what kind of hybrid species you're going to create. I mean, it's going to be a super horny hybrid species because it has Jack's DNA for sure. But I mean, I would at least want to get like the doctor in on a consult to kind of figure out if there would be any ramifications from that. It could bring disease to our planet, you know, all sorts of stuff. You need to take a close look at it before you let Jack Harkness.
Well, as I said, this is my quick rebuttal. I don't mind if they get married, but he's an alien, so they have to go. Okay.
Okay, so let's see here.
Time to prep.
we have two Bill and one Anne-Marie for the first one.
So I lose.
So that you lose for the first one. And now,
keep
guys,
voting, folks.
Go ahead and vote on the second one.
Let us know which one you're voting on, too.
Yeah, and we'll go ahead and move on to the next topic here.
Okay.
Okay, so.
I'll read it. You go first.
You want me to go first this time?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. A wizard is on vacation in Muggle Daytona Beach. They're relaxing by the ocean when a Muggle attempts to rob them. In self-defense, the wizard accidentally kills the Muggle with magic. Should they be tried in Muggle or wizard court?
Now this one.
This isn't really a pro or against. This is Muggle or wizard.
I'll go Muggle.
Okay.
Okay. Well, the crime happened while the wizard was hanging out in the Muggle community. So I think the jurisdiction lies with the Muggle community. I mean, the Muggle community doesn't even know about the wizard justice system at all. So I mean, if they take the wizard out, or if they take the wizard into the Muggle courts. Or if they take the wizard out of the Muggle system and take him into the wizard courts, then the Muggles are there's gonna be no justice served as far as the Muggles are concerned. I really think you need to.
Okay. Ready?
Yep, go.
Okay, this should absolutely be tried in wizard courts because we have all sorts of special protector spells that would help alter the Muggle memories and such. But you cannot just go around killing Muggles even if it's an accident. You know, Harry got in trouble just for blowing up his aunt. He didn't do it intentionally. He didn't even know what was going on. It happens and you get tried in wizard court, not Muggle court. It's not going to help you there. What do I got?
You got 1 second.
Wizard!
Okay. So let's see. It looks like there's one AMD, one Bill, and then two Anne-Marie. So we're 1-1 right now. Go ahead and vote on Muggle versus Wizard Court, and we're going to move on to the next topic. Let's see here. What is it, Anne-Marie?
Okay, the next topic in reading. Okay, in 2013, Florida passed a law saying that police can use drones as surveillance as long as they have a warrant. Tony Stark uses an Iron Man suit as a private owner rather than police-issued one as a drone to gather information for the Avengers. Is Tony Stark breaking the law? What should be done if he is?
Okay, and so the question is,
just pick a side.
Basically, should a superhero, specifically Tony Stark, be allowed to use drones to spy on people?
Was he breaking the law?
Was he breaking the law? Go.
No, you were going first.
No, you go first.
Okay, I'm supposed to be pro. So yes, he's breaking the law. Because if the police are going to need a warrant for surveillance, then Tony Stark can't just throw his money around and use his suit as a drone to do whatever he wants. But he's Tony Stark, so he'll pay off the cops probably. So what should be done? I don't know. What do you do to him? I'm not familiar. I'm sorry. He has money.
You saw Iron Man 1.
Exactly. And that was like, how long ago? 8 years?
A while ago, yeah. Okay,
I lose this one.
I think it's fine because, I mean, Tony Stark, you know, he's not out there doing, you know, protecting people from supervillains and everything because it's his job. He's doing it because he wants to. He has this overwhelming sense of justice. And I mean, you know, he was a big part of the military industrial complex for so many years that, and he rejected all of that to do good by starting the Avengers and everything, that I think he can be trusted with drones. I mean, if I see one outside of my window, I'm going to be a little creeped out, but at the same
can't trust Tony Stark with a drone.
Okay,
in response to the wizarding question, let's see.
I'm in the middle.
1 a.m., 1 bill, 2 bill, 1 a.m. You win.
I win.
I win
the wizarding question. Yay! So we're 2 me, 1 you. Okay, we have
On the Tony Stark. Let's see
I didn't add the last one in.
Yeah, it's 2 you, 1 me.
Okay, and we won't have a graphic for the last one, I don't think. But,
that's silly.
But we'll have a graphic for the last one. Okay.
Best graphic ever. Okay, in the new 52, Aquaman's trident can control both the weather as well as the ocean. With the massive drought in California, the government asks him to use ocean water and provide rain. Climate change has been affecting Atlantis too. The ocean is Aquaman's kingdom. Should he have to comply with the U.S. government in giving land, aka water, to California?
Are you going first or am I going first?
I can go first.
Okay, go.
Okay, so yes, because I'm supposed to be pro, but I'm not against. So, of course, he should be able to help his fellow man. Howe is taking just a little bit of water to water California for us. It's not that big or anything. How is the climate change affecting Atlantis? We don't know those details. We don't know if Atlantis is more harmed than California. So please help California. Do, you know, your nearby state, country, county, world, help them. Yes. Go.
Okay, as for me, I don't think Aquaman should cooperate at all, especially because they're ordering him to, or they're demanding that he do it, because he is the sovereign king of the seven seas. That's like 90% of the world. And, you know, Atlantis has been a kingdom far longer than America has been a country. Aquaman, Arthur shouldn't have to kowtow to these American politicians who are coming into his kingdom and telling him how to use his trident. That being said, I think he should do it out of the kindness of his heart because he's a superhero. Okay, let's see here.
Let's see the drone question. Let's see. One for Bill. One for AM. You can't trust Stark with a calculator. Boo hiss to vigilantism. AM on the drones. You didn't make me more inclined to trust. AM, whatever she said wins. Hee-hee. As much as I trust, I adore Tony. Yay, AM with the drones. Yay. I have no idea what she's saying. Hashtag team Anne Marie. Thank you, Michael Lucero.
Okay, so you won that one?
Yes, I overwhelmingly
won. Okay, so we're 2-2, so it all depends on this one, guys.
Okay.
Okay, so...
So, vote on the Aquaman question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so we have one for me for Aquaman so far.
This is hilarious.
One for me for Aquaman.
So far, I've won the one I thought I'd lose and lost the one I thought I'd win.
No, that was good, though. I think we had good fictional arguments.
Yeah, yeah. Eminent domain.
Another for me. Three for Aquaman.
See, the problem
is... The thing is, you got to respect that he's king of Atlantis.
Yeah.
Oh, and Monica says, Bill, and it's 75% of the earth is covered with water. But yeah, I should win anyway. Okay, so I think we have...
No, with Aquaman. So,
five, yeah, so...
3 to Bill, 2 to Anne-Marie.
I guess I win. I'm sorry, Anne-Marie.
That's okay. I kicked your butt last week with Name That Deity.
You definitely did. I don't think I got one right on that one.
You got 2 points out of 20.
These games are fun, though. I think we can do more of these, for sure.
Totally are doing more of these.
For sure. Okay, so do we want to do Idiot Box, or do we want to do Idea Box right now? What do you think?
Wait, is this a...
Universe Boxio.
This is a Universe Boxio.
If this, then that. I want to do both of them. I don't care what happens.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and do...
It's going to be a long one tonight, guys, yeah. Just so you know.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and do the Idiot Box. So in the Idiot Box, we sit back and make fun of films and shows from the past. This week, we're sitting back to watch a classic U.S. Office of War informational film called Tuesday in November. And by the way, guys, I'll say in the chat room, this one is 16 minutes long.
We may cut it early if it needs to.
We're okay for cutting it early. The old gong show. If you give us gongs in the chat room, enough gongs, we'll go ahead and call it a day. But let's go ahead and watch Tuesdays in November. You'll be able to get this at Pringlinger Archives, and there'll be a link in the show notes at universebox.com.
Nice. Monica only got 1 point last week, too.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
Nice.
I was like, you cut me down way low.
Dun, dun, dun. Tuesday in November.
Tuesday in November.
Yeah, this is one of those, you should be a good American citizen, go vote kind of things. Oh, look at that idyllic little town.
Precious. Is that weird?
It might be.
Could be. It is early morning. Oh, wait, there's cows.
First Tuesday in November.
The first Tuesday in November. November. That hasn't changed.
A city that is not very large, not very rich.
Not very rich.
Not very old.
Not very old.
It's a poor, new, young, small city.
In California.
But people ride bikes. It's in California, though.
They ride bikes in California?
They're waiting for Aquaman.
What are we doing?
We need water.
Water.
Riverton's 15,000 residents.
That's it? 15,000?
Public school number two.
Public school number two? They don't even get names?
Public school number two of how many?
Exactly.
How many public schools does it count?
Election today.
Closed for election day. The kids are excited.
Precinct two.
Bar closed. What?
Not acceptable.
Then where are they going to hold their like meeting while they're waiting for the results, like the politicians? Because you always see them at a bar, like waiting.
Hotel probably.
Places the country over in which American citizens are going to pass.
When I've always already seen these old films. Maybe I had to watch them in school a zillion years ago.
The locked ballot box.
So secure. Much better. Actually, I'd say more secure than digital voting systems.
Probably,
sure.
Yes.
On the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November.
Just cleaning out the old voting booth. Getting it all ready. Look at all those stacked chairs. You think they do that every day? You think they make the kids do that every day?
Yes, they do.
Well,
I remember having to put my chair on my... Well, you wouldn't remember, Mr. I didn't go to public school.
As we all know from the 50s to the 80s, the children were considered the working class, so...
You guys should be whether or not voting day should be moved to the weekend.
I think so, definitely. I think it should be moved to the weekend, or they should, absentee ballots and stuff should
be...
Was
that a unicorn?
Maybe.
Defend the Constitution.
I think they still have to do this. They have to swear on the book of their choice.
The book of their choice?
Yeah.
Is that really what they get to do? I want to swear on...
According to the laws of the land.
Can I swear on Harry Potter? I swear on Harry Potter.
To uphold the U.S. Constitution.
Here comes the first.
I want to swear on the Anarchist Bible. To the U.S.
Bible?
To the U.S. Constitution, just to be completely ironic.
Interesting.
There's the milkman.
Very first one.
He didn't even bring them any milk.
He didn't show his ID. He didn't show his ID. Did you not have to back then? Did you just walk in?
Well, it was a small town of 15,000, and he is the milkman. They probably
know
him.
The milkman.
Yeah.
But they have to, like, write things down.
Remember, this is a...
Well, I think that things like that got kind of tapped down more and more, like, through, like, the 70s and 80s, and even up toward to today, like...
If we were able just this once to follow Bill...
I want to see inside.
There you go!
Is he going to vote Franklin Delano Roosevelt? Thomas Dewey? Who wins that one?
Who won? What?
Dewey wins.
Dewey wins.
That's like, you know, the guy holding the Truman or whatever.
I don't know.
The newspaper thing.
Under the Constitution of the United States.
There's discussion in the chat about, you know, should the elections be moved to the weekend? And there's lots of discussions that yes, it should be moved to the weekend, or maybe it should be more than one day, or if it's a single voting day, it should be a full 24-hour time period.
We're missing the branches of government.
I don't care about the branches of government.
Legislative, judicial, and saffron. Saffron? Saffron.
Interesting.
There's the old White House.
Is that ever true?
He is.
Hope would like to ship the milkman with one of the old ladies.
Already done, Hope. Already done up here.
And the Navy, an important...
He's going to war with the to war with the milkman. The
Vice President, right? To war with the milkman. Wait, what?
Because he didn't vote right. Because we all saw how he voted, and now we can judge him for it.
Judge,
which is how democracy should work.
By custom, sits as a member of the President's cabinet.
Do you like the President's cabinet, Emery?
They look like the silence. Silence will fall.
Well, that works out, though, because then the president, you know, he engages with his cabinet, he gets advice from his cabinet, and then he goes off and does what he was going to do anyway. So it's basically how politics works, right?
Yeah.
It's a squarish office, Monica.
Monica says that's not a very oval office.
It is a parliament which, unlike many democratic parliaments, has no direct connection with the executive branch.
Except there's a tunnel going from the parliament to the White House.
Oh no, a tunnel?
Secret tunnel.
And the House of Representatives.
I like secret tunnels. I want a secret tunnel.
The law may originate in either house, but must be approved by both of them.
Can one house go over to the other house to visit?
When a bill is passed by both houses...
Like, can you go over to your buddy's house in the Senate from the House of Representatives?
I have no idea. I mean, if there's a...
Are we going to learn how a bill becomes a law?
I thought... This is not what this is.
It is a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, what
it's
was,
showing how
what is
all
this?
The it's showing how all the parts work together.
He was just doing this.
Magic.
Magic, 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 magic.
I'm just a bill up on Capitol Hill, and now this video's been taken down by Schoolhouse Rock Incorporated.
In the Senate or upper house, as it is called.
Should I sing this? There's a secret tunnel song, Hope? So she said that one point was voting while in college is really annoying because mm-hmm. whether you don't live there or it's a long drive,
yeah.
there should be voting on college campuses, and it just sort mm-hmm. of, well, it's all digital anyway. It should just go wherever yeah. it needs to go.
I think they should do internet voting personally. Like, I think the time has come for internet voting.
Internet voting.
I mean, obviously, you're going to have to have some sort of like a token or something that gets
right.
sent to each individual so they can do the secure thing.
Right,
and
put
all
in
that.
A passcode or yeah. something. Yeah.
Yeah, but they couldn't do that back in the 30s or 40s.
No, they definitely couldn't.
Oh, wow. Disco.
Disco.
Making laws.
In the House of Representatives. No one gonging us. That's hilarious.
Yet. It's going to happen.
I just reminded them, so who knows what will happen.
Populous of the states.
Oh, look, there are some states there.
States?
And there are people in the states. In kind of like a weird art, pop art kind of thing. Puzzle art thing.
What is that?
No, the money flows the other way in
money.
Congress.
Oh.
It flows the Oh, no. Yeah, it does flow to the president, so he yeah. can. So he doesn't veto the bill. That's very true.
The money and the manner decided upon by the Congress, whether it be for purposes of peace.
I know, Hope, I haven't read the new Prez comic. I want to, though. I love the old Prez series. It's basically they take away the stipulation that you have to be 35 to be president, and so a teenager becomes president. It's a good concept.
There is a third branch.
A third branch?
Third? No.
The Supreme Court.
Oh, those guys.
Supreme Court.
Well, at least they don't matter at all.
The
Supreme Court protects the Constitution from violation by congressional...
I meant guys in the colloquial sense.
Oh, okay. I'm just checking, you know.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That's all I'm going to say.
Executive, legislative, and judicial. Each with some power, none with all the power.
And in the center of this Venn diagram, corruption. Corruption and money and lobbyists.
The ultimate power rests in the hands of the voter, Bill Johnson.
Bill Johnson, the milkman. We have a name.
Bill Johnson, the milkman.
So we just need to find out one of the ladies' names, and then we can create a shipping name for them.
Choose a governor for his state.
Say it's Susan. It could be Boozin.
Boozin. Boozin.
All the minor offices and very.
He's like very relaxed in that voting booth. Very good lighting in that voting
booth.
Very
good.
Too.
I mean, it's never that good.
Mm-hmm.
When Bill Johnson is finished.
No, Bill Johnson. Good old Bill Johnson.
If a majority of the voters think the way he does about it.
He voted for John Ronson. See, why doesn't he put his ballot in the ballot box? He handed it to a guy, and then the guy put it in the
box. Oh, I don't trust the guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust the guy.
What are they doing?
Here in Riverton, that the voting is heavy today.
They were studying.
Oh.
No, they were probably looking people up, because not everyone's Bill Johnson, the milkman.
This is true. This is true.
Man, look how busy this town is. This is
we're
like...
only have... It's all the people.
This is like modern election days where they're like, 4-hour lines outside the polling place.
Don't get out of line!
That's one thing
as long as you're in line,
I'm worried
vote.
About voting here in Florida, actually.
Are you?
A little bit.
First, you have to switch your license.
I do. I do.
I'm registered to vote now.
Look at all that wasted paper. I'm so glad we have digital voting devices now.
Yes, they can
be
tampered. Can't be hacked at all.
They can't be hacked from the parking lot. That's never happened. I wonder if they had pregnant Chads back in the 30s.
Oh, the pregnant Chads.
Good old pregnant Chads.
Oh, no. Isn't that Florida?
Yeah, that is Florida.
Oh, no.
That was actually the first presidential election I ever voted in.
Same.
Nice.
Same-sies.
Why? Oh, okay. We're doing the absentee ballots now. see this woman's sick and she can't make it out to the polling place.
But the absentee should be beforehand. You can't just, like, vote from your deathbed.
Well, I think what they do is they take, like, the total number of absentee ballots, uh-huh. and if the someone won by that much, then they count.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. Only, oh yeah, see, now we have the soldiers doing it too.
No, see, she's putting hers in a box.
That's because she's an employee of the U.S. government. She can be trusted, I guess.
Oh, they can? Oh, the bars are closed, so there's nothing to do but vote.
They're like, come on, let's
vote and be anti-trees. Die, trees!
Ironic that the bars are closed and their shipping name is Boozin'.
Wynn still uses paper ballots.
Nice.
Wow.
Virginia is an old state.
Well, it is.
It is.
It is a very old
state. I used to live in Virginia.
I did not. I lived in Western Virginia.
Yes.
It's the better.
There too.
West Virginia, the better
Victory.
Virginia.
Victory! Glorious result yesterday. All honor to good party. It sounds like communist propaganda or something. An election was held.
What?
Great leader voted in as president for another year. There will be less beatings today than there were yesterday. Democracy. Democracy.
Sorry.
Yeah, and Knight RAF, who is a Florida resident, says we have Scantron voting here. Oh, I guess Bobby used paper ballots. But Knight RAF lives closer to us, so.
Yeah, because, well, same county, I think.
Maybe.
Maybe. We're learning.
Now there's protesters. Or
protesters? Oh, no. Was
guys
there
on
voter
radios.
Fraud?
Oh, no. This is the celebratory thing.
Is
yeah.
it a celebratory?
They're, like, happy. Cause
they don't look happy.
Roosevelt won for once.
Used to be a complete arrow. Now fill in the bubble.
Ooh, look at Dewey. He's kind of weird looking. He has a mustache.
Breaker. Democrats nominate. No, this is the convention.
Okay.
So maybe that was just the preliminaries.
Mm-hmm. And the campaign is on.
Oh.
Retain Joe Hill for sheriff.
Oh, vote Clem Clausen.
Clem Clausen. Good old Clem Clausen.
Clem Clausen.
He works with Joe Johnson.
Joe Johnson, Clem Clausen. Oh my goodness, that's gracious.
Some feel that this isn't altogether a
thing. That a lot of time people energy are wasted this debating.
Way. All of the debating.
Never debate politics, ever, especially in a public forum.
Yeah.
Definitely don't
I'm
do
still
that.
Mad my brother was supposed to come in the chat room and he didn't.
Maybe he
I'm
did.
I'm going to have to call him. No, I know all of
yeah.
these people.
Yeah, Hope Dewey definitely had a porn stash.
Totally.
Definitely. Totes. By all parties to Totes McGoats. That guy's angry. I think that was Dewey. Dewey.
Dewey reminded Angel of MCU 40's Howard. What does that mean?
Howard Stark.
Oh.
Iron Man's dad.
Thank you.
Take part in the great
things
debate.
I don't understand.
And now there's a parade. Hooray!
Ticker tape!
And they still haven't gonged us. You know what? I think
we're having fun. You're gonging us?
I'm gonging us because we have a lot of stuff in the idea box
we
this
do have
week,
a lot of
too.
Stuff
so
in
we
the
should
ideas.
Probably.
All right,
probably
so. Gong.
Goodbye. See you next November, Tuesday in November.
I'll be gone till November. Definitely. I'll be gone till November.
Please tell my girl that I'll be gone till November. November. And now Wyclef Jean is taking us down, too. What's that?
Okay. Well, now we had to sing, too.
Yes, yes. You have to, right?
That's what I'm
you
saying. It's our show. We got to sing.
Definitely. Okay, next up, we're going to go into the Idea Box, which if you don't know, you can go to universebox.com/ideabox, and it's real simple. All you do, you come here to the forum, you type in your idea,
here
something for us to talk
idea.
About, and then you hit submit. It's all submitted. It's all good to go. And we have a lot of ideas. A lot of questions this
Bobby's
week.
Gonging us.
Nice. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank
okay,
you.
So let's see. The first question is, what political issue – and you guys can answer
please
the,
answer
in the
too,
chat
yeah.
room too for sure. What political issue do you care about most? Anne-Marie, you go first.
I really should have looked these over. I'm actually probably going to go with equality
mm-hmm.
over – like an overarching, you know, everybody should have an equal say as somebody else. Rich, poor, male, female, gay, straight,
mm-hmm.
everything like Democrat, Republican, independent, crazy person down the street. We all are just as valuable. We all, you know, as long as we have the same like with pay scales, mm-hmm. men should not be paid more than women. As if they have the same credentials, you know,
mm-hmm.
it goes along with what I said earlier with choice. You know, woman can choose what goes on with her body. A man can choose what goes on with his.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to have babies? Have a vasectomy. I don't care. You know, like stuff like that. I just think everybody should have a fair shot. It gives everyone a fair shot if they're treated equally. Mm-hmm.
That's fair. That's fair.
That is fair. That's the point. It's fair. How about you?
I disagree. Oh, wait a second. I'm not conservative, Bill Ingram. No, actually, my hot button issue is actually the death penalty. Just because I think it's horrendous that as a modern society, we still kill people out of basically a sense of revenge. And yeah. I think that the small – actually, it's not even small anymore. The fairly good chance that you're killing somebody who didn't even commit the crime, even if it was a small infinitesimal, if it happened once out of 10,000 executions. Yeah, that's still too many to kill an innocent person.
Right.
And I also think that, you know, in a lot of ways, if you asked a prisoner whether he wanted to sit on death row or a death row like – the environment for the rest of his life, mm-hmm. or if he wanted to just go ahead and, you know,
kill him,
get it over with, I think they'd probably a lot of them would probably die. So that's not really a punishment either,
right?
You know, and it's another thing, you know, if someone is, if evidence comes out later, which we've seen this happen a lot with DNA,
a lot of that now, yeah,
you know DNA evidence and stuff, if stuff comes out later, there's no way to take that back. Like, right. There's a way to take back, you know, taking someone being in prison for 20 years of their life, you know, first of all, letting them out, and two, most times they get a settlement from the state for stuff like that, you know, to where at least to pay them for the time they spent in prison unjustly. So that's my big hot button issue. What does the chat room have to say about it?
Let's see.
Wynn's with me on the death penalty.
Wynn is with you on the death penalty. Michael Lucero can't narrow it down. Let's see. Hope says, I don't think about the I think the death penalty should only be for the worst of the worst, like Saddam Hussein. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
I think not. Okay. Then again, I am a pacifist too. Yes. It goes back to that big moral question I have. Are you intentionally harming somebody else?
Yeah.
And I think not. I think actually you stand to learn a lot more by letting a horrible person like that live and, you know, sending experts in to talk to them to kind of figure out how a mind gets like that. You know, definitely. I think there's a lot more value there. Wynn says, as far as her hot button issue is abolishing the IRS. She thinks it's a completely corrupt organization, which a lot of people agree to varying degrees on that for sure. I know an idea I've seen floated around. I think it was Ron Paul's idea of like a flat tax, to where like there's just like a flat sales tax across the board, no income tax, because then that hits you know, the rich and the poor in equal amounts. You know, like,
but it's not proportionally equal.
Well, I mean, like everyone pays. I don't know what the numbers he was using was, but like 2% tax on everything. You know, if someone only spends $100 a week, they're paying $2. If someone spends $100,000, they're paying.
Okay, that's fair.
You know, whatever. The I'm not math.
I'm not okay. math.
I'm not.
This
math.
Is when we need Sage. Let's see. Knight RAF says, if you're going to make me choose, criminal justice reform or end the drug war.
Oh, I like both of those. I am. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty good for both of those. Like, eliminating privatized prisons and stuff. That's a big one.
Well, yeah, because then people get sent to prison just because somebody's getting a kickback.
All right, this one isn't really for everyone. I think it was more just for me.
This one's for you because I'm not answering.
They were asking, did Superman or Clark Kent ever run for public office? Now there have been various Elseworlds stories where Superman becomes president, where there's a Silver Age version and a one from the 90s where he becomes king of the world, more or less. He takes over the world because he's like, I can do better. And then Batman's there to be like, no, you can't.
Nope.
Not really. But there is one of my favorite kind of alternate Supermen to come out in the past several years. Grant Morrison created this guy for Final Crisis. He's the Superman of Earth 23, also known as Calvin Ellis. Mm-hmm. And basically, he's the first black president in America, and he's also Superman.
Oh, so there we go.
So he has to manage cabinet meetings while running over to Africa to take care of some big supervillain issue, and like, you know, he's Superman, but he has to juggle being the president at the same time, which is in a lot of ways a lot more interesting than maybe you know, being a reporter while being Superman. So if you want to check him out, Final Crisis is where he first appeared, and then he got Earth 23 got into a whole book in the Multiversity series that just came out. He also had a standalone issue of Action Comics he was into.
Interesting.
So that was a lot of fun. That was one of my favorite stories.
Okay
let's see here. Anne-Marie, what's your earliest memory of political things?
Okay, this is funny. Or at least it is now. I would have to look up the year to know what grade I was in, but I know we were writing letters to the president, which was Bush the first. And I think it was probably a year and a half before the Bush-Clinton election. And mm-hmm. I vividly, and I don't know why I remember writing, I would vote for you if the kids election. And then I remember once, because I know Nickelodeon used to do like the kids vote. Mm-hmm. And I remember by the time that all came around and knowing who Clinton was, and for some reason I chose him over my parents were pretty evenly split, so I got exposed to a lot of both.
Yeah.
And I remember going, oh, I lied to him. I remember being like, no, when I said I'd vote for him, I'm voting for the other guy. Like, I vividly remember that. So I thought that was pretty fun.
I'd just like to point out in the chat room, Hope said her hot button issue is LGBT rights, especially for trans people.
Exactly. Definitely. Which is sort of why I was saying with the equalities, like everybody, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you represent. You still are equal.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. As for me, my earliest memory of political things is it was the Bush Dukakis race. I think it was in 88. I might be wrong on that, but I remember it very specifically because that was right around the time we started going to a Baptist church, and there was a lot of politicking from the pulpit, and it was very anti-Dukakis because he was the Democratic candidate,
right?
And the whole Willie Horton ad that happened, which I didn't include here because it's a little bit like intense.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't include it in our episode today, but the thing I remember most about it is just that it was drilled in my head: Michael Dukakis is evil, and it even became like an insult in our house for the election. Like, you know, if me and my sisters would get in a fight, it would be like, you're a Dukakis.
Oh,
you know,
my.
Like, which kind of sounds like a dirty word.
It does, which is probably why you said it.
Yeah, probably.
You could get away with saying
I didn't know any dirty words then, so probably not.
Exactly.
Because I was so young. But yeah, that's my earliest political memory.
Nice.
Okay, Anne-Marie, how do you think social media will affect this year's... Oh, wait, are there any...
There's a whole bunch.
Okay, yeah, let's...
Let's see.
Michael Lucero says, I grew up in a Republican family, so probably watching one of the debates with W.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Knight Ariel says, our mock election between Bush, Clinton, and Perot in school, and that election in general. Mm-hmm. Monica says, when Reagan was running for his second term, my first grade class had an election, and I voted for the other guy because I had never remembered another president. Carter left when I was two.
Hope says, in elementary school, when I think Clinton, first ran, we had to vote for a candidate. We were asked why we voted that way. Everyone chose who their parents were voting for.
Nice.
Angel says, I think the first time political things were important in my family was in middle school. The first was the W. Bush one. Nice. And let's see, anything else? I think that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Anne-Marie, how will social media affect the upcoming presidential election?
The same way social media affects everything now. It changes. It's a double-edged...
Will we get another Obama girl? You remember Obama girl from 2008?
Oh, yeah.
The YouTube sensation that sang a song about Obama?
Probably. We're always going to get something else. I will say, like Hillary's already been all over because of she already had those sort of built in from the last election.
Mm-hmm. She had a mailing list.
She had a mailing list, but she already had the followers on all the different platforms. So she was sort of up in the game. And it also, she's a woman, so that kind of, you know, gives her that bump. But I think it's a double-edged sword because there's so much negative and you're only exposed to what you see on social media, but you also have that opportunity for, you know, a friend of yours to share something that you never thought of, like how you shared the, you know, Who I Side With website that I had no idea what it was. And I posed the question, well, our next one, I'm going to give it away, who you'd vote for if you voted today. And it really...
Don't say it. Save it.
Okay, I'm not going to say my answer, but it sort of exposed you to other thoughts and like people who you didn't know thought like you, people who you knew they thought the other side. So you sort of like, I don't know. It's good and bad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think awkward actually, term. Like, I kind of have a feeling that, like, I don't know. I feel like social media is kind of falling off a bit of a cliff. Like, I have a feeling that, like tensions are getting so high on it and everything, like, on every side of the spectrum, like, and, you know, all sorts of doxing going on and personal attacks and this, that, and the other, that I have a feeling that it's going to kind of lose favor by the time we actually hit the presidential election. So I think platform or content platforms like YouTube and blogging and stuff like that are going to play a major role they did in 2008 and 2012. But I think that social media is kind of going to lose prominence as we move forward.
You think?
That's my prediction. I could be wrong. I'm kind of like, you know, calling out my shot like Babe Ruth. But sports metaphor.
I know. Not.
It's the tie. It's the tie.
What does the tie have anything to do with it?
I don't know. But that's my thoughts on it.
Okay.
Anything in here?
Apparently, Bernie Sanders has a lot of social media, a lot on like Tumblr.
Oh, definitely.
Excuse me. So that, you know, when you're in with the social media, you usually are with the younger vote, which is an important one, especially with certain issues that are starting to come up with things like gay marriage and legalizing marijuana.
Gay marriage really isn't an issue anymore. It's signed, sealed, and delivered.
Well, now it is, but I'm just saying, like, it's making people more pay attention.
I was kind of glad to see that pass before we really got into the big election cycle, because it would have been a wedge issue
that, it would have been everything
that everyone was using, and I'm glad to see it off the table. Yes. Wynn says social media will be more mocking this time because the candidates are so lame.
Wynn is not happy with our choices of candidates.
Let's see. And you mentioned the Bernie Sanders.
Let's see.
Yeah, and then people are just talking about Bernie Sanders.
Let's see.
Yeah, I think that's about
it. Should be interesting, though, to see Sanders go up against Trump.
Okay, now here's the big question, Anne-Marie. If you had to vote in the upcoming presidential election today, who would you vote for?
Well, and seriously, until we started doing this, I really don't follow politics very well at all. Bad American, whatever. So, like I said, I took the survey on iSide with, really not sponsored, but I just really liked the site. And it puts me at, and I go by things because the internet tells me, Bernie Sanders. Because I apparently... Because the questions it asks you a huge variety of questions, and it has you a chance to expand out.
Yeah, what's the site again?
It's isidewith.com, and I really encourage you to at least check it out if you don't know a jumping off point.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely good.
It's a great resource. But I agreed 98% on major policies with Bernie Sanders, 84% with Clinton, who really – it's a female running, which is really important to me. Again, equality. Hi. But, you know, she's got a little shady sides to her. Then 71% Martin O'Malley, and then it jumps to the Republicans. So I would go with Bernie Sanders because since posting that we're doing a politics episode, a lot more people are talking about it and not talking about it in a rude or judgy way.
Yeah.
They're talking about it. This is who I want to vote for and this is why. And it starts you thinking.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll agree on Hillary Clinton. Like I was like the biggest advocate for her to run up until she ran. When she ran in 2008, like just the way she handled herself in the debates and in the campaign in general, it kind of turned me off from her. And then some stuff that's come out about how the Clinton Foundation uses money and stuff like that. It kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I don't know who I'm going to vote for yet. Even if it was held today, because I don't know the full list of candidates.
You can find lists.
That's not the list of...
not on the site.
But I'm saying who's going to be running in the presidential election. Those are who are running in the primaries. I've taken sort of like a philosophical approach to how I vote now.
So you made me out myself, but you're not going to out yourself.
I'll tell you who I agree with most who's out there right now.
Okay.
It's Bernie Sanders. I won't... tease or anything. But I don't vote by party or who I agree with or anything like that anymore. I vote against entrenchment, against experience. I vote anti-incumbent. So basically what I do is before I go out to the polls, I look through all the candidates. I vote for non-incumbent first. So if someone isn't in the office, I'll vote for them first. And then if there's multiple choices there, then I'll vote for the person with the least experience. Because I think a lot of the corruption and stuff that happens in government happens because, you know, you get these senators in there who are sitting there for 30, 40, 50 years.
That stuff's crazy. There needs to be limits.
You know, a lot of handshake backroom deals with companies and lobbyists and this, that, and the other. I think the only way to kind of root all that out of there is to get people with the least experience possible in there, because in politics, experience equals corruption in most cases. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think Bernie Sanders is – I agree with him 100%. He has a great record and he's walked the walk for decades. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, if I voted my heart, I'd vote Bernie Sanders. Right. Since I don't vote my heart, I'll vote for whoever has the least amount of facial hair or what have you.
Oh, it should be a female then.
You know, cut the candidates in half. Whoever has the least amount of rings, that's who I'm going to vote for. So
the youngest with the least amount of facial hair.
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So what do we have from the chat room?
Oh, well, there's a lot of people.
Bill Meeks for president.
Yes.
I like that one.
Yes.
No, actually, I don't. I would never want to be president.
I don't know. No,
okay,
no,
let's
no.
see. Michael Lucero says Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's see. Angel doesn't really pay attention to presidential election until the year of, which is good. I think it starts way too early
these
days. It starts
entirely too early.
Okay. Knight RAF says Bernie Sanders probably.
Your tie went from politician to preacher, apparently.
Hope says, not sure yet, since I don't claim to be a Democrat or Republican. I don't vote by party. I write out pros and cons of all the candidates and then pick the best one for me. Now I'm watching Bernie Sanders, but I'm waiting for the field to narrow some more. Mm-hmm. Wynn says, if I had to vote today, I'd vote for whoever was the Libertarian or Constitution Party candidate, as I always do. Which I think isn't good. Rand Paul, Libertarian, I think. Let's see here.
He's listed as Republican on the I Side With. But on the I Side With, there's nothing other than Democrat and Republican. Wait, hold on. Maybe there is. Show all candidates. I thought I did that already. Keep talking. Keep talking.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think that about wraps it up.
No, it's not listing anybody as anything other than Democrat or Republican. It might have just sort of shifted them where mostly lie.
Where they mostly lie.
Right.
Okay. So, Anne-Marie, I guess it's time to reveal what's in the box for next week.
Oh, hey. Ooh, I'm so excited for this one.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one.
This is
going
to be an amazing one, and I expect you all here.
Oh, Monica says Ron Paul.
Are you ready?
What is it? What is it? It's beginning to look a lot like a piece of paper.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas in July. Do, do, do,
do, do. Yes, next week on Universe Box, we're decking the halls with boughs of holly. That's right, we're celebrating Christmas on next week's Universe Box. So what's your favorite Christmas carol? Have you ever had any trouble making it home for Christmas? Want to share your family's eggnog recipe?
Yes,
please. Send us your Christmas list. We're talking Christmas next week on Universe Box. And can somebody clean up all this tinsel around here? Because it's kind of messy.
Oh, no, I'm going to throw tinsel. There's going to be tinsel and lights and cookies and everything.
A quick reminder.
If you
were part of our gift exchange for this, we would love if you could go ahead and send in at least a picture of yourself and maybe a little message.
I think Bobby already sent his in.
Yeah, Bobby already sent in his or a video. Yeah, yes. I got your video, Bobby.
Yay!
A video of you opening it or sharing the present with us, just so we can edit it all together in a nice package. I would love if we could get those by like Monday or Tuesday at the latest.
So you can put them all together.
Yeah, so I have time to put them all together for the big thing. Actually, both of our presents are sitting back here. We haven't looked at them yet.
I'm dying to open. I like presents.
Yeah, and as always, you can send in all of your Christmas themed stories to universeboxshow@gmail.com. The Twitter's @universe_box. The Facebook is facebook.com/theuniversebox. And the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And we have one, a very serious.
There's no Christmas ale within 100 miles of here.
That's a shame.
That's darn shame, folks.
But here with a very serious voicemail is Michael Lucero. Take it away, Michael.
Hello, Bill and Anne-Marie. Hello. Fellow storytellers. I'm not one for conspiracy theories. Sure, it's true we faked the moon landing, but I'm not crazy enough to believe 9/11 was an inside job. I mean, those people are just nuts when they say JFK was killed by the CIA. He was obviously killed by aliens who were being mind-controlled by the CIA. So you may be surprised to learn that I've subscribed to a new theory, one more disturbing than ever. In ABC's drama Once Upon a Time, we learned that Rumpelstiltskin tried to cleave himself from the dagger and leave Storybrooke so he could seek power here in the real world. According to the lamestream media, he was defeated before his evil plan could work. But folks, we've been lied to. Rumpel did indeed escape the dagger and Storybrooke, and he's at large today in America's political landscape as none other than Donald Trump. They got to folks. Trump's comb-over is more awkwardly dyed shade of gold than ever, gold being Rumpel's alias of choice. Trump is opposed to immigrants. He's a birther, which is just the position he would take to hide the fact that he is an immigrant, not from a different country, but from a different world. Trump did not serve in the Vietnam due to bone spurs in both of his heels, just as Rumpelstiltskin didn't serve in the Ogre Wars due to foot injuries of his own. We know that Trump Tower is in Manhattan, the same part of New York City that where Neil lived, and Trump's mother is a Scottish immigrant, just as Rumpelstiltskin has a Scottish accent. His grandparents were German, just as Rumpelstiltskin comes from a German fairy tale. And like Mr. Gold, we know that Trump's power comes from ownership of properties all around town. We've seen Rumpelstiltskin collecting rent from the innocent nuns of Storybook. And just before leaving Storybook, Mr. Gold taught Henry in his shop. You might say Henry was Gold's apprentice. Is this where he got the idea for his reality show? We may never know, but probably. Donald Trump is critical of global warming because he doesn't believe in science. We already know Mr. Gold's opinion on science versus magic. And Trump is now running for president, continuing the thirst for power that we knew he had from Storybook and the Enchanted Forest. In his presidential campaign, Trump used a song by Neil Young, which was obviously chosen because he misses his son, Neil, who he lost when he was young. Trump is known sometimes as The Donald, a nickname that conveniently echoes The Dark One. And while on The Late Show with Conan O'Brien, Trump claimed he had never used an ATM machine, obviously since he can just conjure cash of his own. And finally, Trump's father is known to have said of The Donald, everything he seems to touch turns to gold. Mr. Gold, that is. So there you have it, folks. All the proof you need to know that Trump is Rumpel, or as Muster recently labeled him, Trumple.
Rumpelstiltskin is Donald Trump. I'm not crazy. You can't drag me away from here. I'll be back.
Paid for by the committee to elect Meeks and DeSimone of the Universe Party for president in 2016.
Yes, we completely support that nomination. No, wait. Quick update.
Yeah.
I think Illuminati. Michael Lucero tweeted us, I think the Donald is on to us. Oh. He's just trying to cover it up now. Tweet from Donald Trump. Losers such as Rumpelstiltskin use me for publicity for themselves. They are strictly third rate. So I think we've cracked it here. Yes, Donald Trump is Rumpelstiltskin. Is Donald Trump?
Oh,
is
the Trumple.
Rumpelstiltskin.
The Trumple.
The Trumple shall rule the earth.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing.
Yes, definitely. Okay, as always, you can shoot your stories over to us, universeboxshow@gmail.com. Tweet us at @universe_box. Facebook is facebook.com/theuniversebox. And the voicemail number, which we almost always play, is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And as always, we're going to end with some takeaways here.
Do you have some takeaways?
Yeah, I have some takeaways here.
Because I don't have takeaways here.
First of all, no matter if you agree or disagree with someone, it's always fun to, you know, discuss things.
It is. Discuss things.
Trump is Rumpel.
Trumple.
I think that the milkman and the polling place lady should get together.
Totally.
Susan.
Susan.
Boozin, rather.
Boozin.
And
they're boozin.
Our last takeaway is we are never doing this again.
No. We're done. Don't ask us anything else political.
We are committing here at the end of the episode, up through including the end of the 2016 election cycle. We're not talking politics anymore.
Nope. It's not happening.
If you send in a letter about how
we will ignore
about
it.
Hillary Clinton versus Bernie Sanders, we're going to delete it.
Mm-hmm. We'll read it. We'll giggle. We'll talk amongst ourselves, but then we'll ignore it.
If you submit in the idea box, what do you guys think about, I don't know, the wage gap? Delete it.
Deleting
it. In the chat room, if you're like, are you Democrats or Republicans?
We'll refer to you this episode over, and then we'll delete it.
Exactly. So, from here on out, the no politics promise from Universe Box, and that goes across all our podcasts. Obviously, if a, you know, on the story TV show based podcast, if a political issue is addressed in the episode,
we will
discuss it, but we're not going to get all preachy. Political.
Yes.
Preachy.
I hope that we haven't lost any friends or listeners with this. Politics makes me feel icky, in case that wasn't obvious.
I try not to talk politics and religion in
general. We don't
talk
politics ourselves. Usually,
A little bit.
But we don't get into – because I don't like to lose, and I always lose when I get into a debate with him. So
no, you don't.
95% of the time.
Hey, you won two of our micro debates in the game box.
By them. So their decisions.
But we want to thank you guys
thank
in the
you
chat
so much.
So much. You guys have been
such
so
a great.
Great
chat tonight.
Yeah, and so encouraging, since you all knew that we were very nervous about this episode. So we really appreciate everything you did as far as that. So I guess that's that about wraps it up. So until next time,
remember to think outside.
Do not adjust your computer screen. It's your mind we're changing. Story set to a theme. Think outside. Universe Box.